You are listening to the Punk News Podcast yet again, the Record Store Day special. Here I am, feature editor John Gentile, with longtime contributor Tricky Ricky Frankel. Tricky Ricky, here we are with our semi-annual tradition yet again, talking about records after a Record Store Day. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, it looked like it was a, I don't know how it went this year, but it looked like people were enthused. I saw all sorts of stuff on the internet, so you know, people celebrating and stuff. People showing off their collections that they got this year. But yeah, let's jump into it, I guess. Great to be here.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming. Thanks for being on as always. I guess I'll go first this time because my Record Store Day was a little bit more traditional than your Record Store Day, I think. I gotta say, some Record Store Days are definitely stronger or weaker than others. I thought this one was pretty strong. You thought it was kind of weak, right?
Yeah, this. I mean, I thought this was there was nothing on the list that I wanted, so I just
I don't know how you can say that. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that came out this time. I'm kind of surprised by that.
I dug through the list like four or five times when it came out because I was like thoroughly shocked. But let's get into yours and what I did next.
So I had a pretty riotous Record Store Day. I woke up at 4. I usually get up at 4:30 or 5 and went on down to Electric Avenue in Westchester, which is kind of near me. And the reason I did is because last time I got there at 5 and I was way back in the line. I'm like, damn, I used to be like number 4 in the line when I got there at 5. Last time I got there at like, last time I got there at 5 and I was like number like 30 or 40 or 50 back in line. So this time I got there at about 4:30 or so and I was still like 15 back in line, but that's still better odds. The thing that I really wanted was the Groovy Ghoulies compilation, I guess. The Groovy Ghoulies, well, really Kepi, put out a compilation of 40 Groovy Ghoulies songs and Kepi solo across two records. And in pure Kepi style, he made it super limited. I'm not even sure why. And most of those were centered on the West Coast because the Groovy Ghoulies are definitely better known on the West Coast than the East Coast. So I didn't even know if my local record store was going to have it. So I got there at like 4:30, and honestly, I was pretty grumpy, man. And I got there at like 4:30. I sat at my little chair, and I'm thinking, you know what, man? Maybe I'm just going to bail, and maybe I'll just come back in the evening, and just maybe I'll get online or something. Because anymore, most things on Record Store Day, you can just get online for even cheaper than they are at the Record Store Day. Not that I'm saying you should shop online and not go to Record Store Days, but what I am saying is you're really not doing anyone any favors by wasting money that you would have spent in the record store on other things by overpriced Record Store Day stuff. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I thought, because of course, Ricky, with you and me, every day is Record Store Day, so we don't even need 100%. To get into that debate, you know. And so, anyways, but I said, you know what, I'm here. I'll just stick it out. And honestly, I was surprised in that like the 3.5 hours until opening went by like really, really quickly. Maybe because I was reading comic books the whole time. I don't know. So, anyways, I go in and Ricky, man, like people were, you know, I said I was grumpy. People were annoying me. People were like taking for like I'm only like number 15 in line. Actually, I think I was 17. And people are just taking forever. It's like, listen, you know what you want, the way Electric Avenue does it is you get in a line, and then you number one gets to walk past the rows first, then number two, so you can like flip through. You know what I mean? Which is a really good way to do it. Unlike Streetlight now does it by appointment, but I remember when I first started going to Streetlight in San Jose, it was a free for all. It was a literal free for all. It was crazy. Like people would run up to the records and like reach over. It was crazy. You know. Anyways, so Electric Avenue. So people walk up and flip through, but people are like just kind of like hanging out there and like picking up a record, flipping it over, you know, looking at it. And I'm like, if you're number 3 in line, you should know what's there. If you're number 73 in line, then maybe you don't know what's there. But if you're number 3 in line, you should know what you're looking for. You know what I mean? It was, and people were like talking and like hanging out. I'm like, come on, man, let's move this along. I got other places to go today, you know? So anyways, I get up there and I start flipping through. And I flipped through David Bowie. I got that. Rolling Stones Live in 2023 in New York City, the small club, got that. I was lucky enough, I got the Talking Heads Live in 77, which I'm super psyched about. I was going to throw back the Public Enemy live record, because I thought it was going to be super expensive. And honestly, I'm like, well, I could probably buy this some other place, you know. But it's three records. And also Public Enemy's been like, Chuck D, Public Enemy's been annoying me recently. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's my middle finger to Chuck D. I just won't get it. but it was $40 for three LPs, which isn't cheap. But for Record Store Day, $40 for three LPs, it's kind of reasonable. You know what I mean?
That's like pretty good.
Well, the reason is, and here's why. The reason is because I think it's a what we might call gray market release, in that I don't think Public Enemy had anything to do with it, because it's from a live show in like France or Australia, but it's put out by this sketchy French label. So what probably happened is in 2003, Public Enemy signed a release to play the show. And as part of the show, they probably had the rights to record it, you see. And so then, 20 years later, this one of these like semi-sketchy European labels say, "Oh, we'll license that." And the reason I say that is because the cover has just Chuck D and Flavor Flav on it, and it's they flip the image, and which wouldn't really make that much of a difference. But A, it means Chuck D on the image has a piercing in his right ear, not his left, which you suggest something with, you know, which would probably I don't care, but probably would make Chuck D mad. But annoyingly to me, Ricky, is on the cover, because they flipped the image, Flavor Flav's clock is backwards, which that's a 4-minute Photoshop job to fix. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I'm like really, you're going to go to all this effort to put this whole thing together, and you don't spend 4 minutes fixing the clock. However, well, I'll get to the actual record itself. I picked up Boogie Down Productions Edutainment re-release. Even though I've got the original, this has some songs on it that aren't on the vinyl version, that are only on the CD version. But yet again, it's kind of a weird record in that instead of putting all the CD tracks on a double vinyl, they took the double vinyl, put some of the CD tracks, and then another remix instead of putting all the vinyl, all the CD tracks on the vinyl, which I thought was weird. Also, I got the Ramones record, which I'm going to talk about in a second. And finally, I got the South Park, Ween, and Primus, and Rush record.
You did? Oh, my God. That seemed like the big ticket item this year.
That was, as was the Sparks record as well, and a couple of other things. Price-wise, I thought prices were – I think they're kind of getting up a little – oh, I did throw two things back or three things back. I also grabbed the Dead Milkmen record, but that was $50, even though it's a one LP. I think part of that is because it's for charity or something. But I already have the original. The new one has nothing new on it except for its remastered. Plus, the last Record Store Day Dead Milkmen record was like $60, and now you can literally buy it for like $20. So I'm like, I'll just wait on that one. I threw back the Slits live record because that was like $40 or $50, and they're going to release a more widescreen one. And like before I went in, I'm like, you know what, man? I don't want to blow $450. Like, that's real money. You know what I mean? It's yeah. Like, and so I said, I'm going to spend $200. I'll feel good about spending $200. So I threw back the Slits. I threw back the Dead Milkmen. And there's a Prince Farai record that I threw back too, because I can get that anytime. So anyways, prices, I feel like – well, actually, I felt like prices were kind of insane, but maybe not. The Dead Milkmen record was like $50. The Slits record was like $45. And the Boogie Down Production record, which I did get, was $43 for two LPs, which – I guess for a Record Store Day, that's kind of reasonable, but like $43 for one album, that's a lot. But the David Bowie record was $26. The Rolling Stones live record was $31, which for Record Store Day, I'll accept that. Oh, the Kepi record was $50 for one, you know, double LP, but still, it's one album, you know. That's a little high. The Talking Heads record was $36. And the Ramones record, Ricky, how much did the Ramones record was?
Oh, 35 to 37?
26. I thought that was very really? Reasonable. Very
really? Because they've been, I mean, they've been churning out stuff.
Yeah, know, yeah.
A lot.
So anyways, I also got the CD version of the Public Enemy record. And I got to say, man, like, I've been annoyed Public Enemy recently, but I put that CD in my car going to my next stop. I mean, it kicks ass. Like, I was amazed at like how great it is. Flav is on fire. And plus, they do like different versions of a lot of their songs. They do like some cool medleys and stuff. So, I mean, if you're a Public Enemy fan, it's pretty awesome. But I think the real winner, or two real winners, the South Park record is phenomenal. It really is. $50. Yeah, I guess that's why I thought, like, you know, I paid $50 for South Park. I paid $40.50 for Kepi, $42 for KRS, $43 for KRS-One. So that's why I did felt it was high. But the South Park record, I love Ween. I love South Park. I love Rush. Primus, I'm not anti, but I'm not pro. I'm neutral.
They were going to be there no matter what, though. They did the theme song.
True. So in that context, you're right. I'm glad they're there. The record, A, the sound quality is awesome. B, Ween does a couple of songs with Primes and the South Park guys as Ween. Rush, or Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson of Rush with Ween and the South Park guys do like an extended version of Closer to the Heart by Rush. And it's an awesome release. I mean, like, I love South Park, I love Rush, I love Ween. It's like a whole bunch of my favorite things all mixed together, and it works so well. Plus, you get to hear the Ween guys doing South Park songs. You get to hear the South Park guys do Rush songs with the guys from Rush, and the Primus guys do some cool stuff. And it's just the package is super well done. It's three records. It sounds great. It looks great. And
are the records color?
Yes, they're blue for they're tally blue, like the character tally. It's great, man. Like to me, this is what Record Store Day is all about. Like, these wacky one-off releases
100%.
That are like kind of dopey, or not dopey. Dopey's the wrong word. Weird, I guess, or unexpected. And it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's something that would never come out any other day.
Right, exactly. Also, the Ramones record, I've actually had this a long time as a bootleg. I'm glad they put out a real version. It's the 1975 Sire demos. The sound quality is almost as good as the actual record. It's basically a raw version of the first Ramones record, and it's all. I mean, pretty much everyone's probably heard it, but it's great. And for $26, I'm super psyched to add it. The Rolling Stones live record, I've heard that before on the CD, but it's cool to have it on vinyl. Like I said, the Talking Heads live record. A lot of these tracks have actually been released before, like here and there. But it's cool to have the entire live show from before the first record all in one package. And I'm annoyed by David Byrne more and more every day. But that being said, in the Talking Heads, he was awesome. And this record's great. Like I said, the Boogie Down Productions record is kind of a weird choice. Kepi, you know, I love Kepi, man. And the compilation itself is pretty cool in that it's like 40 songs, including some rare ones. But it's like, well, actually, it's cool. It's a very neat record. But if I was making a Groovy Ghoulies greatest hits selection, I would have picked a lot of different things. So to me, it doesn't really feel like greatest hits. It's more like, here's a collection of Kepi songs that Kepi likes personally, you know? So it's cool. It's hard to find. It's well done. I just am continually confounded by Kepi. Like, why does he re-record albums that he already owns? Like he went on tour with the Copyrights, and they re-recorded an entire Groovy Ghoulies album. It's like, well, why not record your live set in the studio if that's what you want to do? A lot of times, artists will re-record old albums because they don't own the old albums. But in Kepi's case, he owns the old album, so I don't know why he re-records albums that he already owns and makes them sound almost identical. You know, he did the same thing with the Accelerator. So he's a great artist, but a confounding guy. So anyways, after that, I ran up to Rock Shop in King of Prussia. The reason I ran up there is because they've got a section that's used records, buy two, get one free. But on Record Store Day, it's buy two, get two free. So I ran up there, and there's a line, and it's actually in a mall. The line is hundreds and hundreds of people long. And like about 2 days beforehand, they put on Facebook, like, here's our rules. You got to get in line, you know, and then we'll take five people in at once, and then five more people, and then five more people, whatever. And so I put under it, I'm like, if I'm just there for the regular records, can I walk right in? And I actually asked them that beforehand, but I wanted to get it like publicly known just so like there wasn't going to be a riot. So then they privately messaged me, yes, you can come on in. And I was hoping for like a public post, you know. So Ricky, there's hundreds of people in line, hundreds. I get there 5 minutes before opening. I walk up, they open the door, I'm like, can I come in just by regular record? I'm like, I'm gonna cause a riot, you know, because people are gonna think I'm stealing their Taylor Swift records or something, you know. So they're like, come on in. So Ricky, I got so many stink eyes, but I wasn't there for the records, I was there for the regular records, you know. But Ricky, one guy beat me there. I have no idea how he got in before I did. And he had already scooped up like half the deals. I'm like, oh my God, you know, that's part of the sport. So I grabbed a whole bunch of stuff. Then I raced on down to one of my favorite record shops, Jupiter Records, outside Wilmington. Technically, it's in Wilmington, Delaware, but it's not in the city of Wilmington. It's in the suburbs. And they just had a bunch of, like, they don't do the real Record Store Day thing. They do, like, the homegrown Record Store Day thing, where they just put out a bunch of, like, cool records they've had for that they've been saving, you know? So I got a bunch of cool records down there, which maybe we'll talk about in a hot minute or so. I don't want to take up too much time. Then I raced on down to Sit and Spin Records, where they actually like make a big deal out of Record Store Day, but they don't do Record Store Day stuff. They put out a bunch of obscure and rare punk stuff, you know. I got let me think what I got down there. I got an Integrity record. Oh, I got some Misfits records down there, which was cool. I'm looking right here. It was a lot happening in one day, Ricky. At the rock shop, I literally bought like 200, well, not 200, like 100 records. Let's see, what else did I get down there, man? I got some Lou Reed. I got a Lou Reed record, and just a bunch of other really cool stuff, at Sit and Spin. Then Ricky, I walk outside and I see this young lady with blue and green hair. Do you know who I thought that was?
No.
So I'm like, is that the young lady from Scow? Or is that just someone that looks exactly like a young lady from Scow? So she's like, and you know, Scow's from Santa Cruz. And so I walk up to her. I'm like, are you in Scow? She's like, yes. And it was Cat Moss from Scow. I have no idea what she was doing. I probably should have asked her, like, are you guys playing a show or something? But I just talked to her briefly. I talked about I was telling her how awesome the remix to Psychic Dance Routine is. And then I felt obligated to tell me that she didn't remix it, which I knew, but then I just talked about, I told her how cool the new record was, the new EP, but I didn't really, I was having such a mad rush of a day. I should have asked her some questions, which I totally did. I should be like, so what are you doing in town? Are you recording? Are you just hanging out? You know, So it was Cat Moss from Scout just hanging out, man. And then I went home, took a nap, and then I went back out. And I went to a place in Philadelphia called The Sanctuary, which used to be called Vanishing Point. It's one of these like DIY, definitely illegal, super underground concert places where they have like all maximum rock and roll type bands. And Janine Sinclair of Witch Hunts Band, The Brood, was playing. And they're basically kind of like a Discharge type band, and they were rad. And the three other bands were playing, and I stayed for like another two, but the third band was some band from France. And it was like so loud, and I had to get up early the next morning. I'm like, you know what, man? Like, this is cool, man, but I don't need to, like it was so loud, Ricky. I had earplugs in. It was so loud. I'm like, you know what, man? Like, this is cool. But I'm going, you know, I saw The Brood, it was cool, and then I bailed on out, and then I went home.
Wow.
So, Ricky, my records today was pretty rad, man. Like, I was running all over town. The action was so much fun, man, and I had a blast. So,
that's,
I
gotta say, man,
Record Store Day, I think, word on the street, though, Ricky, I was asking around, word on the street that Record Store Day sales for official Record Store Day stores not quite meeting expectations this year. But like I said, I think some of the prices are a little high, and I think Rexford, they could work on that. But that being said, I think the stuff that came out was rad. And I mean, I love I'm actually probably going to do a little essay on Punk News, man. I love Record Store Day, man. I love it. I have a blast. Official Record Store Day, unofficial Record Store Day. There was just so much going on, and it was a lot of fun. So yeah, man. What'd you do, Ricky?
So, okay. I you know what? There really wasn't anything on the list for me this year. So that I was
not shocked. Even the Ramones?
So here's the thing, I looked at it and I'm like, and do you remember when we talked with Sam a couple years ago on record for the?
I remember you were bummed because the 7-inch box set was like really crappy.
Well, that, but also the but remember like we were talking about how like when that whole Cro-Mags Age of Quarrel was coming out. It's like 2021 or something like that when they did the Record Store Day drops. And we got, I think you got it, I got it, but then you were like, I'm not sure why I bought this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and it was hilarious, but the picture disc Offspring disc did nothing for me. I'm like, maybe, but then I'm like, no. And then the Ramones one, I'm like, okay, there's 6,000 of them here. And like I don't need to get in line for something that's going to be drop in price super quickly. And also, and this is what totally changed my mind on the Ramones thing. I'm not against getting it maybe later, but I have a bunch of records that have like the demos. Like I have the one I'm thinking of right now is not Party Crasher. Let's see. It's there were.
Do you mean? Oh, you mean the Ramones Pleasant Dream demos?
No. The Wilhelm Scream record. Career Suicide. I have like the reissue that they did with the demos, but John, I never listen to demos like ever. And so I'm like, so between that and like, you know, I'm like, and the whole like, why did we buy this Age of Coral reissue? I'm like, I don't need this like immediately if I really, because I don't listen to the demos. So the Ramones thing is cool. I might, if I find it in a store like later on, maybe I'll pick it up. But I just, there was just nothing on the list for me this year. Otherwise I would have done it.
I would agree with you with demos. Like I like people are like, oh, they're coming up with demos. It's like, I don't need to hear less good versions of the songs that I like. That being said, I think I would disagree with the Ramones demos, because it's really more like a live record in that it's all four of them together ripping through a set they've done a bunch of times before. The sound quality is real good. Ricky, I think you'll enjoy it. Although I think you did make the right choice by not, if this is all you wanted or were thinking about, yeah, you can buy it online for now like $28. You know what I mean? So like why get up at like 2 a.m.? But I mean, Ricky,
exactly.
I know you feel burned by the 7-inch, Ricky, but I got to say, if you ask me, the Lynn Ramone and the business that now owns Joey Ramone's half of the Ramones.
Yeah.
They've been doing, like, with the Pleasant Dreams alt mixes, the live discs, I think they've been doing an excellent job. And Ricky, I think it's time for you to get back on the Ramones rarity train. Because no, so there is a plethora of very cool stuff there.
You know, so, this goes in. So I felt like, I'm like, you know what? I should, if I'm not going to go on Record Store Day, I should at least go to a record store like week of and talk about, and so that we can have stuff to talk about and maybe I'll find something. Cause I hadn't been, I went to Amoeba Hollywood, Wednesday, it's Sunday now. So, Wednesday of this week. And I had a half day of work and it just, that happened to work out perfectly. And so I said, you know, I'll go down there. John, I found the best time to go to Amoeba.
What time?
I mean, it was, no, I'm sorry. I went on, did I go on Monday or Wednesday? I think I went on, let me see my calendar real quick. Oh, I went on Monday. I'm sorry. I went on Monday. I went at like, I got there at like 11:30 in the morning and it was easy to park. It was, it wasn't crowded at all. I traded some stuff in. I got my store credit like immediately. It was great. So I went to Amoeba. I did some digging and, you know, I have a pretty like standard routine now of going there. So when I go there, so like the first thing I do is I look through the box of like newly priced used stuff. I didn't find anything in there. Then I do the...
Ricky, do you know about the secret box in the back of Amoeba Hollywood?
The secret box? No.
So in Amoeba, in Amoeba Hollywood, that is, when you walk in, is it a ramp you go down? It's a ramp, right?
Yeah.
So right to your right is like the new arrivals. But Ricky, way in the back, sorry, by the books, like there's like a stage in the back. There's two or three boxes back there, which are also new arrivals that they just throw in the back for some reason.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I've gotten some really cool stuff there.
So next time I'll check that out. So then what I do is I go to the, like, I'll look at the 7-inch wall, like the punk 7-inch wall. And then I'll look at the LP wall, punk metal wall in the very back left. And then what I'll do is, because it takes me the longest, is I'll go through the punk section. And then after that, I'll see if there's anything in the rock section. So I didn't find anything anywhere except in the punk section and LP section, and I found and by the way, this actually coincides with our Ramones discussion. So I found a great reissue of Big Wig's Stay Asleep. It's I guess an unofficial release through Cleopatra, which is not either Fearless or Kung Fu put that out originally.
Kung Fu, because Cleopatra purchased Kung Fu.
So at least according to Discogs, the band says that this isn't a a real like an official release or at least endorsed.
It pro
So I
well, so I'll give you the background on that if you'd like. So it's big. So what happens was, right? So Cleopatra is a label that there's a word for it, but they buy other labels. You know, they buy like everything, and some of it's like forgotten stuff or less stuff that like most people don't have. Most labels don't have the desire to really invest in. So it's just sitting there dormant. Cleopatra will buy entire labels, and then they'll just start putting them out because I believe they have a pressing plant on site, or if they don't,
Oh.
they've got, and that's why like there's so many like Danzig variants and stuff put up by Cleopatra's. Like, oh, here's the red one, here's the yellow one, here's the yellow and red one, here's the
Here's the
blue
picture
one,
disc.
right, because they, you know, and honestly, a lot of Cleopatra pressings really are not that great. So they'll like buy labels. I mean, buy labels, that is record labels, and then they'll just like, you know, do 300 of this item, 300 of that item. And some of the stuff they put out is amazing quality, great records. Some of the stuff they put out is just garbage, and you're like, who is buying this? Like, I mean, they put out remixes of Wham demos, and I'm like,
Oh,
who is buying that? You know.
yeah.
Anyways, they put out like some demos of Bow Wow Wow. And like, who's buying that? Me, but I'm pretty sure I'm the only guy buying demos of Bow Wow Wow. You know. Anyways, the point being is they'll buy labels and just put out bands, but they're legally they're not really under any obligation to tell the band because the band doesn't own those records. The label owns those records, you know. So like, you'll be in a band and you'll be in the record store and you'll see your own band's music re-released and you don't even know because Cleopatra just pumps it out. Now, if Cleopatra were If I was advising them, I'd say, you know, keep the bands in the loop. Maybe cut them a few bucks that you don't even have to give them. That way they'll be psyched on it. They'll post about it and it'll get more in circulation, you know? But that's not what Cleopatra does. They don't even advertise. They just put it in the distributor list and the distributor picks it up and sells it to the store, you know? So the point being is, the band Chrome is fighting with Cleopatra right now. And that Cleopatra will put out band stuff, but not tell the bands. Legally, they're allowed to. But bands are shocked and surprised and not psyched on it. So that's the issue, probably.
Okay. So anyway, this is a good, I listened to it. It's a great copy. So I'm happy with it. And then, if you follow me on Instagram, I'm slowly, very slowly collecting original US pressings of all the Ramones studio albums. It's taking a while, but I've gotten a few this year so far. And lo and behold, in the punk section, I found an original 1984 pressing promotional copy of Too Tough to Die.
Nice.
And that it wasn't on the wall. I was kind of shocked. And one of my only rules, like it can be kind of beat up. It can be, it just needs to be playable. But my only main rule is like I want the original sleeve in there too. Like I don't want, I want to make sure like it's at least complete. It can be beat up, but it needs to be complete. So I went over to the center desk and I had and one of the employees, I said to one of the employees, I'm like, hey, is there any way you can just open this to make sure like it has it? Because it was sealed. It was resealed. So turns out it has the original sleeve. So I took that with me too. And those were my two buys
Nice.
at
Well, that's a
Amoeba
cool
today,
buy.
at Amoeba
That's a
this
cool
week.
buy.
So and what's cool is like I'm getting like a good amount of Ramones promotional copies. Same with Blondie's too, Blondie ones too. But I have like three or four now. I mean, the one that comes to mind the most is like my promotional copy of Leave Home, which is really cool because it has Carbon Not Glue on it, which they later took off. But that was my record store jaunt this week, John.
Well, that's cool, man. I mean,
Yeah.
that's real cool. With Big Wig, I'm looking at Discogs. It says, according to the band, this should be considered an unofficial release. And I'm almost sure that's exactly what I described, in that
Yeah.
Cleopatra bought Kung Fu, just put it out, didn't tell the band. So the band is bummed because they don't feel like they're getting any money from it, you know? And so, you know, and if I was Cleopatra, man, I would have, I mean, if they do have their own pressing plant, if they were smart, Ricky, they would email Bigwig and say, hey, you guys want like 50 copies of this? Because it cost them probably like $300 to make 50 copies of a record because they make them themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And then the band will post about it online and people go out and buy it. You know what I mean? But
Yeah, I don't know. I was absolutely shocked because to find like bigwig stuff, even like it took
yeah.
me It's really hard. I really love that band. I mean, I wish they would put more. I wish more of their stuff was put on vinyl. I mean, it took me forever. I mean, I didn't want to buy it on Discogs, but it took me forever to find Unmerry Melodies in their first album on just on CD at a record store. So I don't know. Again, I love that band. I think they deserve proper pressings of all their stuff. Like Reclamation's such a killer album. Anyway, yeah. So should we? Do you want to play a song, John, or
Yeah,
what
sure.
should we
Go
do
ahead, man.
next?
What do you want to play? Go ahead, hit him.
Let's see. I think I'm just been. I'll find something from that's something new from this year. You know, I mean, I don't know if you guys have played it on the Punk News podcast or not, but you know, that album Bloodstained, the Bloodstains album
Yeah.
that kind of blew up. I wanted to play a song on here. So I reviewed the their 7-inch that came out last year for Punk News. This band just sort of blew up pretty quickly in the Orange County and SoCal scene, and right and they deservedly so. Like it's ve the both releases are very good. I think they have a cassette too that they put out before the 7-inch. But anyway, it's all DIY so far, and they've just been blown up. I actually managed to get a first pressing of this album late, but I got it. I didn't not on through Sorry State actually. They had copies of it, so I managed to get it. I'm gonna play the song "Suburban Suicide" by Bloodstains. From their self-titled album that came out this year. Here it is.
Bloodstains, and that it's crazy how much that record blew up. I mean, it's like
Yeah.
$80 on. I don't know if it was like $80. I don't know if it still is right now, but yeah, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, I kind of panicked because I'm like I heard it I actually had the chance to buy it through Bandcamp and I'm like I don't know this is like good not great and then I listened to it again I'm like oh crap this is really good and Luckily, you know, the first pressing only had like 300 copies, and Sorry State managed to get it, get some. So I jumped on it and got it from Sorry State, and now I'm really happy with that. But it's a killer album if you haven't checked it out. The whole thing is really, really, really good, and it's quick. It's like 8 tracks. I don't think it's more than a half hour.
Yeah, man. So let's see. Let's talk about maybe some other cool records we got, not at Record Store Day. So here's something. So about a year ago, Rick, you know on Discogs, like some UK sellers or European sellers, like won't ship to America or even outside of the UK. So about a year ago, somebody posted the original press of Melvin's first record, Test Press, for £100, which is like $125, which is like insanely cheap record. I mean, that's insanely cheap, Ricky. I mean, I could probably sell it for 500 to 1,000 bucks, or if not more. And I wanted to buy, and I emailed the guy. I'm like, "Will you ship to America, please? I'll pay you." You know, and then of course, I mean, it sold in like 10 minutes. He's like, "I would have, but it already sold." I'm like, I was like, "Never again, Ricky. Never again," which isn't true, actually. I was annoyed, but I didn't say never again. But I found out about, and apparently, like a lot of people know about this. I found out about these services where you can basically have something shipped to a locker in England, and then that company will ship it to America for you. Have you heard of this?
You know, I actually had a friend in the UK who did the same thing, but he had a locker like in Nevada so that he could get stuff in the UK. So yeah.
So it's not, honestly, it's not cheap. It's like a $10 for one time fee. And then it's free, except for they charge you to ship stuff, and that. So, anyways, so there's Aryup, of course, was the singer of the Slits. After the Slits broke up, Aryup was in New Age Steppers, and she did a whole bunch of different projects that even today a lot of people don't know about, and myself included. So like Aryup's discography is like all these different things. When she had her solo band in the early 2000s, Aryup and the True Warriors. She put out what she called was a promo CD, but it's really just kind of like a homemade CDR. And I've wanted this for years because it's her doing Slit stuff live. It's called a demo, but it's not. It's actually a live record. Also, Ricky, you won't know, but I'm going to make a guess anyway. Do you know who plays guitar and drums on that record or that CD or CDR?
No.
Jay of the Slackers and Aura of the Slackers.
Whoa, that's cool.
Kind of neat, right? So anyways, this is, I don't know how many of these there are. There's probably like 100, 200, 300. There's like none of them basically. And about five, and I've wanted this CD for about 15 years now. About 10 years ago, more like 7 years ago, somebody put one up on Discogs and I bought it immediately. But I kind of felt like I bought it too quickly. Because they took a long time to ship it, and then after they shipped it, it didn't come. And I was like, "Hey man, like I didn't get this yet. Do you have a tracking number?" He's like, "Oh, I'll refund your money." And he refunded, like he didn't give me a tracking number at all, and he just refunded my money like right away. Now, normally, if you ship something and someone asks, says, "Where is it?" You try to find it before you just refund their money because you don't want to be out your money. You know what I mean? But the
Right.
fact that he like refunded my money like within a minute of me asking, you know, and didn't have a tracking number, definitely made me feel like I bought it too quickly and he knew that he sold it too cheap, you know. So about 3 years ago or 2 years ago, somebody had another one for sale and I bought it, and of course it got lost and destroyed in the mail. Then about a month ago, somebody put one up in England, but they would only ship to England. And I sent them a message. I'm like, "Will you ship to USA?" And I'm like, "You know, I can't wait, man. I want this so bad." So I figured out how to open up this thing called Sky Packs, and so I had them ship it to my Sky Packs address, and I think he thought he was being nice. He's like, "Oh, I'll throw in some extra CDs," and he already sent it. Like I'm like, that means I gotta pay like insane shipping for extra garbage CDs that I don't want from England to USA because he thinks he's
Oh,
shipping to England. You know what I mean?
yeah.
But I guess what's quote cool about Sky Packs is simultaneously. DFL, so someone put up a DFL test press, DFL's Proud to Be record test press, which I bought and I had it shipped to the same locker. And then I had the things combined and they shipped to USA. It wasn't cheap, it was like 50 or 60 bucks, which that's a lot, you know. But, you know, I wanted the CD, man. I'm psyched that I finally got it. So the CD is totally rad. It's more, I mean, at this point, like, I've gotten most of the common things that I want, and so at this point, the only thing I want are like super rare things, which in a way is relieving. It's like, I'm not buying as many records for myself as I used to, which is kind of good, honestly, because I was buying too many records. But also, like, when you get these super rare stuff anymore, it's like super thrilling, and the thrill of the hunt is back, even in the world of Discogs. But I guess the drawback is you really got to set a line for yourself of how much money you want to spend, because you can get almost any record you want if you want to pay for it. But see, Ricky, I don't want to pay for it. I want the cheap style, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of part of the fun too. So, anyways, so I got this real cool REUP, weird, super forgotten. See that, like, no one knows about. I mean, it's on Discogs, but like no one knows about it. And so I mean, I've been chasing this thing for 15 years. I've had two fail starts. But I finally got one, and it's rad, and I'm psyched, Ricky. So, yeah, man. And the ZFL test press is real cool, too. I'm not too huge on test presses, but I've been getting more and more just because they've been coming around. And I don't know if I should keep collecting them or not, Ricky. I mean, I don't really care about test presses because, I mean, it's cool to have them, that it's the rarest version usually. But you like, look at it, it's like,
you
wow.
You never play them, though.
I know, it's a blank white label with a little bit of text on it. Wow, you know. I don't know, Ricky. What's your opinion of test presses, Ricky?
I mean, I have a few, but it has to be like a band that I don't just love. I mean, that I,
yeah,
real. I mean, there's, I think I have like two or three. I have all of the post Fat Wreck, like I have the post Fat Records Morning Glory test pressings, like the post war songs.
Oh, that's cool. How'd you get those?
So, and then I also have the Flexi that they did with Anxious and Angry too. Those two, I don't know. Anxious and Angry was just having they were trying to raise money, I think, or something. And I just went, I have to have this. The only one I'm really looking for is the War Psalms test pressing, which, you know, Fat every once in a while puts test pressings on eBay. So, I that's the only one I'm really looking out for. And then I really wanted a Fat Wreck test pressing, because it's like signed by Fat Mike, it's like a whole thing. And so one I do have is I have a copy of a test press copy of Nature Nurture by Clowns, that's from the Fat Wreck eBay site, so I got that. But I really don't do them that often. It has to be a record that I just absolutely adore. Like, if there's a test press of, like, I don't know, Mutiny on Muscle Beach by Nightbirds, I'd probably try and snag it. But I really don't do it that often. It's something cool for the collection, but it's so rare. So rare. Because, I don't know, it's sort of... I'm mixed on it. I'm never going to play them. It's more of an investment at this point than anything else.
Yeah, I flipped it. Like, sometimes I'll come across a test press and, like, flip it. But, like, so, like, test presses go for a lot. But then sometimes, like, they just, like, you, like, I've got a test press of the first Cars record that I thought would sell in a second and kind of didn't, you know. I've got the Specials test press, the first record, which I probably will sell because I like the Special, but I don't need that test press. But I do have some test presses that I love. I'm trying to think what test press. Well, I got some Dwarves test presses, which I'm psyched on. So I do collect those, and I've got a couple of Integrity test presses, but those come with hand-drawn covers, which that's the real reason to get them. But yeah,
I have a miss if you want to hear the story.
Sure.
Yeah. I have my Discogs want list pretty well put together, and I've been waiting for the color version of Banner Pilots' Heartbeat Pacific album to come up, and it hadn't come up in a few years, and it did. And I have the black copy, and that's gone for like $100. And I'm like, that can't be right. That's like really, that's overpriced. And then suddenly the color version pops up, and the highest it ever went for was like $80. Someone asked for $125. And I'm like, no way, not even happening. John, it's sold out in like 30. It's sold in 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, I bet.
I was so pissed. Cause I'm like, okay, fine, maybe I'll do it. And I think I sent even an offer for like 90, and the guy I got just complete, just blown out of the water. I was so pissed.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting on that too. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Should I talk about some stuff I got recently, or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
What do you got,
okay,
man?
So one thing I really wanted to make sure that I mentioned was
Ricky, did I talk about my Straight Outta Compton clean record last time?
I don't think so.
I'll talk about that. You go, and then I'll talk about a couple cool things I've got. Go ahead.
So one thing I want, so on the Ramones collection front, I got something. I paid a lot of money for it. I'm not proud of it, but it was a birthday present to myself. On eBay, someone was selling, like, I'm not kidding, John, it was NM for both categories, Ramones Mondo Bizarro original copy, and it had they kept the original anti-censorship promo stickers from the Saran wrap.
That's pretty cool, man.
And I went,
those late 80s, early 90s Ramones records are impossible to find.
It's like the first three are really hard, and the last three are really hard to find.
Yeah.
Everything in between is not that difficult. They're like 50 or 60 bucks. This, I said, this is amazing. I have to get it. And I got it.
That's cool,
and
man. That's
it
cool.
It plays phenomenally. It's clean. Everything is. And I think this Mondo Bizarro is like pretty underrated. It's a fantastic record of theirs.
Honestly, over the past couple of years, I've been revisiting like the later half of the Ramones stuff, in part because someone bootlegged all the 90s stuff. So I bought them for like 20 bucks, like the bootleg 90s versions, you know. I got to say, man, I've really come around on pretty much every Ramones record. They're not as good as like the first three, you know.
Right.
But even like Adios Amigos, Mondo Bizarro, Brain Drain is freaking awesome. Like
those, It is. Brain Drain is like, very good.
Like, when I used to listen to those on CD, and I went kind of bored because it's a lot of okay songs. But for whatever reason, when you split it up into six songs aside, you put it on, you're like, hey, these songs are all pretty good. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Those Later Day Ramones albums are actually, Mondo Bizarro, like their hardcore record or hardcore-ish, really good record. And every Ramones record has at least a few amazing songs on it, you know? Honestly, like, I'm way into those Later Day Ramones albums these days.
Yeah, so I'm slowly getting it, but that one I'm just go, oh, this is amazing. This is too cool. So and I mean it's such a fantastic artifact of like the PMRC days, you know?
Yeah.
And like just how crazy those few years were with Jelly Offer on Oprah. It's just such like it's such a perfect like artifact of those years.
I had a funny thought to myself, Ricky. I was literally thinking about the PMRC. Like, you know, of course, the whole PMRC bat, like, today would be so quaint, you know?
Yeah, I know.
But I was thinking about, and you know, the PMRC was definitely kind of unhinged for sure, you know? But I was listening to the Ghetto Boys. The album is called The Ghetto Boys. It's the Rick Rubin remix album, which I love. But, like, Ricky, like, literally, like, 3 to 4 times on that album, Willie D of the Ghetto Boys, like, talks about how he hits women. And he's not sorry about it. Like he basically says, I like hitting women because I like putting them in there. Like, he says that, you know? And yeah. I'm like, damn. I'm like, maybe the PMRC had a point.
Maybe Tipper Gore is right.
Like, I'm like, even today, that is like shocking. Like, he's like, oh, I'll hit a bitch. I don't care. It's damn, dude.
You know, even when, you know, when I got my original copy of Frankenchrist and I pulled out the original artwork, I was also like, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, that doesn't bother me because
no, I was just like, I was just like surprised to see it like in person. I went, yeah. I'd completely forgotten about like that part because I remember I was at Radiation. I picked it up a few years ago and I'm like, is this really it? And he goes, yeah, this is it. I go, whoa. And so I took it out and I just was like, whoa. Okay, so that's real.
It is an eye popper. It is definitely an eye popper.
Yeah. So let's see, what else did I get? Oh, I mean, you're gonna rub my face in this, but I finally got because we went back and forth on this on Twitter a while back. I got the lowest count variant of Ceremonies Roner Park, the red variant.
Because I'm glad Ricky brought this up. Is so Ceremony, one of the greatest shows I've ever been to was the Ceremony Roner Park record release show at 924 Gilman. It was Painted Black ceremony.
Oh, God damn it.
I think Cold World.
I didn't
World,
know Painted Black was there.
I think Cold World and one other hardcore, like maybe Punch or some other hardcore band in that era. And I actually went to see Painted Black. I actually, like, at that time, like, Ceremony was blowing up, like Scal is blowing up now. But I didn't even know anything about Ceremony. That I think I had heard the name. And I even told Rick, and Ricky was, like, living out in that area around them. I'm like, Ricky, you should go to this show.
I was in Sonoma County. It was, like, an hour drive.
And so I went, and I, you know, Painted Black is an awesome band. But I saw Ceremony and was absolutely blown away. I'm like, wow. Like, usually when you go see a band, you don't know anything about them, and they're, like, really good. You're like, that was pretty good, man. I'll check them out online. I saw them once, and I was like, this band is amazing, phenomenal. And so I went to the merch table, and they had record release covers that had not hand-drawn covers, like caricature covers wrapped around, like, the most limited one. Maybe it's blue, which I think it's blue.
It's red.
Red, okay, yeah. And so I'm like, how much are the records? They're like, well, like 20 for the normal one and 25 for the special one you can only get at this show. So I said, all right, for five, like, it wasn't even like, wow, I got to get this. I'm like, all right, it's only $5, like, whatever. And now that record is like, a super multi-hundred-dollar records, and Ricky has been hunting for a rare Ceremony Rodent Park for years when he could have had it for $25 had
so
he gone
pissed.
To the 924 so Gilman pissed. Record release show, which was one of the best I've ever seen. It was awesome, Ricky. So yeah. I am happy to rub your nose in it. So go ahead.
And then let's see, what else did I get?
Great record though, Ricky. That record totally whips ass.
Oh, and by the way, I think I got like a fair price for it, but I'm really happy to finally have a first press that, because I've listened to all of their stuff, but this is the one that, like, is
definitely
the classic. It's like the best hardcore record of like the early 2000s.
If you ask me, it's probably like the best hardcore record starting at, like, I don't know, 1995 till now. You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Unless you call Integrity hardcore, which I really call them metal or punk, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I love that record. Ricky, not to get off track, you know, I'm sure we've had this debate before, but what's your opinion of, like, Zoo, L-Shaped Man, and Spirit World by Ceremony?
I didn't enjoy Zoo. I don't know why they took that super left turn on L-Shaped Man. I mean, I know they kind of did their, like, New Order thing.
Well, because they wanted to be Joy Division.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I didn't love it. I've listened to everything they've done. Nothing compares to Roner Park for me.
Yeah.
Cause that's what I want. I'm glad if they took that left turn and things are still going well for them, that's great. But I just, Roner Park was the one that, like, just totally captured me.
See, Roner Park is such a masterpiece, but then again, it's like, I don't think you can do Ronin Park 2.
No,
because, like, even if you do, that kind of makes Ronin Park 1 kind of less special, you know?
Right.
That being said, I wanted Zoo to be good, but it's just kind of boring. L-Shaped Man is boring. In the Spirit World Now is pretty good, but I feel like some of the songs could have been edited to be a little tighter. I guess for me, what's kind of frustrating about Later Day Ceremony is, where Ceremony used to be a very unique hardcore band, they kind of just became a band that wants to sound like Joy Division, or they want to sound like New Order, or they want to sound like Gary Numan. It's like, you're special. You don't need to try to sound like someone else. You know what I mean? And so, like, In the Spirit World Now is a cool record, but it's not like Gary Numan. You know, L-Shaped Man is basically New Order, you know, and it's like, well, you're not going to do New Order better than New Order. So I feel like in trying to be like an 80s synth band, they kind of lost as to why they're special, you know. Go ahead.
Well, and my point was, like, when I think L-Shaped Man came out, when we were talking about it on the podcast, I'm like, I remember bringing up the point, I'm like, how is this gonna, like, work in a set when they,
and it doesn't,
like do they do Sick and then something from L-Shaped Man? Like, I don't know how that really works these days.
They still haven't gotten around. Like, honestly, they still. I've seen Ceremony a few times since, you know, L-Shaped Man and Spirit World, and it's like they'll play like three super fast songs and then two slow songs, and three super fast songs and then a slow song, you know, or four. You know, whereas they used to have this insane momentum live. It's start and stop and start and stop. And I don't think they've kind of figured that out, frankly. And in a way, it's shame. I mean, I don't fault them for wanting to change.
I don't either.
I just wish the change was, I don't know, man, a little better, frankly, you know?
Yeah.
But I, what could they have done after Ronit Park?
No, that's the question. You know what? I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but like, what could Off do?
I actually think Off could have kept going. We'll talk about it. Go ahead, Ricky. Any other cool records?
So just speaking of Off, I got two copies of the Descendants Circle Jerks record. I got the white and the red ones. I think it's my favorite EP of the year. I think it's fantastic.
It is. It's so well. Like it's so like. There's a lot of EPs where one band covers the other band. It's like, so what? But this is like, it's almost like a full EP on each side, and they're on tour together, and they both do an awesome job. It really is a super well done release, you know.
Did you see how much the Splatter signed version went for on Discogs?
I might have, Ricky, because
it went for $300.
Indeed, Ricky, indeed. Yeah. And I went and saw Off on that tour.
Did you get it?
Well, I don't have one anymore, Ricky.
Oh my God. Never mind.
I have a regular non-signed one though, because what? Like, yeah. So, anyways, go ahead.
Of course. Why didn't I put two and two together before? And then, by the way, speaking of Streetlight, I actually managed to get a couple things from them through Discogs.
Oh yeah, what'd you get? I love Streetlight. I guess where you're now, there's not any Streetlight, Ricky. But man, Ricky, I miss Streetlight. I love and Rasputin. But I love Streetlight Records, man. I love
that record. I've been Rasputin in forever. I love Rasputin when I was living up north. No, you know, I've been there's some like UK picture disc 7 inches that Green Day put out, only in the UK, from their American Idiot days. So I got the American Idiot 7-inch, and they have these cool like B sides that weren't on the original album. So I got that from them. And then I don't know how this happened, but they managed to get a Rage Against the Machine, Sleep Now, and the Fire 7-inch on red vinyl, numbered from 2000. It was brand new. It was never played. It's a 25-year-old 7-inch, and it was never played. So I got those two from them. And then I've been really looking for this will be my last one. I'm sorry. One more. I got Fucked Up Being Annoying 7-inch. I love Fucked Up 7-inches. I think they're fantastic. I think, you know, I loved the Cops EP last year. That was my favorite EP of the year. And then finally found an original UK pressing of Inflammable Material by Stiff Little Fingers. I have like two copies of, I didn't tell you this story of my... when I went to another record store and I found the original US pressing of Nobody's Heroes by them. This, John, I don't know how this happened, but the way you can tell between Nobody's Heroes, if it's a UK pressing or a US pressing, is the US pressing has a picture of the band on the cover. The other one doesn't. It looks like kind of like a, it's like it says Nobody's Heroes, but it looks almost like a barcode. So I found an original U.S. pressing at this record store, and I looked at my credit card statement later, and it was going to be like $40 or something like that, or $60, something like that, because I love this band's, especially first two albums. And John, they only charged me like $6.
That's weird.
It was really weird. So I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna say anything, but that happened. So anyway, yeah. I'm gonna do one more. I finally found a grail of mine. Dead to Me's I Want to Die in Los Angeles 7-inch, the Fat Record Store edition. Only 83 made. It's gold with black haze. I actually got scammed. This is the only time I've ever been scammed through a Facebook group, and this guy ripped me off, never sent it, and I lost like $65 about a year ago. I finally got it through Discogs. I'm never doing things through Facebook and Venmo again.
I've actually had some cool, like, I actually got this like really rare Danzig poster for some, like, this guy was selling these Danzig posters. And I said, how much for this one? He's like, $12. I'm like, I know I'm getting scammed, you know, but I said the $12 and I got it, Ricky. But you're right. Oh. And like Facebook Marketplace is definitely scammy for sure.
Totally.
For sure.
So I'm never doing that again. But I got this. This is, I don't typically, I mean, I have a few Fat Record Store stuff in my collection, but this is one of my favorite EPs of all time. So I'm really happy to have it. So that's pretty much the gist of what I've been getting. There's some other stuff, but nothing, but those are like the highlights.
Well, I'll do one other highlight, then we'll talk about off, and we'll wrap up today's installment.
Sure.
I might talk about this last time, but maybe not. So, of course, NWA have their, they only have, well, actually, they got two albums, but they only have one, I guess, highly regarded album, which is Straight Outta Compton. And, of course, that's got the track F the Police on it. But there's actually a censored version of Straight Outta Compton that doesn't have F the Police on it. I think I did talk about this, but it's got, back in the, now, if they censor a hip-hop record, they either just delete the vocal line or they bleep it. They usually delete it. Back then, they would have the group re-record the entire track. And so what's hilarious, I've got the NWA clean version of Straight Outta Compton on vinyl. And what's hilarious is on Dope Man, it's got a new version where Eazy-E raps about why he's sorry that he's a dope man and that you shouldn't be a dope man and you should live an upstanding life. Which is, it's, you know what I mean? Like, everything about Eazy-E was that, like, he's a gangster, you know, and he sold drugs. And there's this track, he's like, I was a dope man, but I'm sorry about it. It wasn't the right thing to do. And it's just hilarious, Ricky. It's hilarious. It's almost like a teacher said, you better apologize for what you've done or I'm going to send you to detention or something, you know? So, anyways, Ricky, let's wrap this up with talking about one of our favorite bands, Off Circle Sure. Jerks Black Flag. Big news in the Off Circle Jerks Black Flag world. Keith Morris did an interview with Nate of the Vinyl Guide podcast, pretty cool podcast where he interviews a lot of cool bands and gets some cool info. Yeah. And honestly, there was a lot of, in the most recent one, there was a lot of big time news in the Keith Morris world. But long story short, Keith says that Circle Jerks are working on a new album and some songs are already, well, one song is already written and other songs are in various stages of being completed. Also, Off is going to do a couple shows around the release of the movie, which has been on the blocks for like, what, 5 years now, Ricky?
Oh, it was supposed to be, it was supposed to be called Watermelon. And I was like trying so hard for that Kickstarter or Indiegogo to work because there's some amazing stuff. But yeah, we've been waiting for this forever.
I was actually 20 grand short. And it's, we've had this discussion before. It is so frustrating how that fell 20 grand short, Ricky. Oh. And like no one, not even the band, could have just thrown in the 20 grand. You know,
and I was at a show where they were where they were filming it too.
Right. That's right.
And it was going to be like, they purposely, like they did a whole set at the garage in Ventura, California. It was amazing. Plague Vendor opened for them. And then all of a sudden they said, hey, we need you to like, we're going to play a song and then we need everyone to boo and like throw like cans and stuff like that. And they did it like three times. It was so cool. I'm like, I can't wait for this movie. Maybe I'm going to be in it. Not happening. No way. I was so pissed. So who knows where that footage is now?
Yeah, I guess they can't use it because it's Steve and Mario, right? Was that Steve and Mario in the band at the time?
Yeah. It was during it was during Keith's like book tour thing.
Yeah. So anyways, Off is going to do a couple of shows with the movie and then go on hiatus. And Keith was quite clear. He didn't like do, like, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I love Keith. He didn't like do one of the things that it's like, yeah, you know, it's, we still love the band and we're still into it, but it's time to pause it or emotionally, we just can't continue right now. He's like, the turnout isn't as high as we want it to be, so we're not going to do it anymore. Which I love how he's just straight. He's like, it's just straight up. You know what I mean? And I can't blame him. You know, he's playing the 5,000 to 10,000 people a night with Circle Jerks, and Off is like 500 people. You know what I mean? Like it's a work, and the merch for Off is so much crazier than the merch for Circle Jerks is so much higher than the merch for Off. So sure. I can't blame him. So Ricky, are you sad? Are you happy? Do you want new Circle Jerks? And if you could only have one, a new Off album or a new Circle Jerks album, what are you going to pick?
Probably Circle Jerks at this point, and this kind of. And this kind of goes to the, what was the first question?
I don't even remember. Are you sad or are you happy that Off's ending?
I'm sad because I always maintained, and maybe this is spicy, but I always maintained that Off, I always enjoyed Off more than the Circle Jerks.
I don't think that's that spicy. I mean, I mean, Circle Jerks have three amazing albums, but Off has four amazing albums. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
And
so I mean,
Off feels more vital. Like Circle Jerks is
yeah.
cool, but Circle Jerks definitely feels like it's a, you know, it's the Circle Jerks, this long running band from the
Yeah, because
past,
it's a legacy act, and
where Off is
which
like a
is,
new band. You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
yeah. So I've seen Off so many times. I actually have a first press of, actually at that show where they were filming, I got the band, the original members, to sign my red copy of Wasted Years, and that's like one of my highlights of my collection.
Ricky,
I
you know who wrote the hype sticker for Wasted Years?
you did.
I did.
You did, yeah. I remember seeing, I'm like, Rolling Stone, wait a minute, that's John. Yeah. And so
That's one of my total highlights, like ever.
it has to be. And guess where I saw that?
Amoeba.
I saw it at Amoeba. It was, I'm like,
Nice.
whoa, that's fucking awesome. So my whole thing was like, when they went like a long time between Wasted Years and Free LSD, and I'm like, you know what? Like, Wasted Years is pretty much a classic at this point. I don't think they can do much more without it sounding repetitive and stale. And then they blew me away with Free LSD, and it's like, now they're at that point again where it's like, okay, where do you go now? Because I don't think you can outdo Free LSD with being as weird as it was. I mean, obviously they did the EP, but like those were just clearly like B-sides, which is fine. I love that EP. But it's like, okay, maybe this is just run its course. Off has just run its course, which sucks because they're awesome live, and I love all their stuff, but I don't know, like, where do you go from there? So I think it's better just to like just leave it alone and let it just end it on a high note, because they are. If they just if instead of doing a hiatus, if Off said we're done, we're not angry at each other, like the way Nightbirds did it, like we're just ending it on our own terms, I'm like, I can at least respect that. I'd be sad, but there's just, I don't know, they have like basically four amazing albums, and anything more, I'm just like, this, if they do anything more, I don't know where they're gonna go, or if, and if or if they stick to the same sound, it's gonna sound just kind of repetitive, and that'll kind of lessen the value of the rest of the catalog. So I'm interested in hearing new Circle Jerks, because I mean, clearly, just they sound very tight on this split with the Descendants, even if it's not like their usual sound. But I'm very content and happy with Off and where they're, putting a pause on stuff. And if they end, it's fine. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, well, you're definitely right in that the run was an for I mean, honestly, I've you know, Greg Ginn has been such a dick over the past 10 years.
Sure.
I've really and Greg Ginn is an amazing guitarist, maybe the greatest punk guitarist of all time, but he's been such a dick and a sourpuss. It's been so much fun watching Keith win and win and win again. You know,
Yeah,
and like,
with Flag too. We can't forget Flag.
well, I that and that's what I'm saying, and that like. Greg Ginn, like his big thing was I'm Black Flag. I'm the only person that matters in Black Flag. And Keith has proven three times now that no, it's not that Greg Ginn isn't important Black Flag, but there are other essential components of Black Flag, which without them, Black Flag would not have been nearly as great as it was. You know what I mean? And so I am loving And you know, like Greg Ginn, I mean not Greg Ginn, Keith. He's maybe he's a little grumpy, but he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's fun. He's in the scene. I mean, he's around, you know, and he just keeps putting out. Like, it is crazy that he left Black Flag. Like, if all you ever did was Black Flag, you'd be a complete legend, right? But then he does Circle Jerks and wins again. And then he does Off and wins again. And then he does
Yeah.
Flag and wins again. Although Flag didn't ever record anything. Although I wish they, I'm so mad at them being prevented from putting out a live album. It'd probably be the greatest live album ever. I'm so mad about that, Ricky.
I saw them only once at Punk, and that was at Punk Rock Bowling,
It was.
I saw him four times, Ricky. I saw him four times.
It's, and you know what? I'm sure, just like my one time, I'm sure every time was phenomenal.
It was, man. So honestly, I think I prefer a new off record just because off feels more vital and off has less rules. Like a Circle Jerks album is going to have to sound like the Circle Jerks, you know?
Yeah. But well, I'll meet you halfway there. I think I would be fine with an off EP, but I just don't know. Again, like where does that go? Where does that album go? Do they go from Wasted Years or do they keep continuing with the Free LSD sound? That's like I just don't know what is supposed to happen there without it sounding stale.
I will say here are two things off could definitely do, and maybe they will do, is off has put out a number of live records, but they've never put out a proper live record, like a full live album. I'd love for a live album of the last tour where they did all of Free LSD and then a second set of off classics, which was it was amazing. Also, there's actually a lot of off rarities. There's actually some super, like, did you know there's two super rare tracks from the first four EPs that were never got a proper release. One's an Avengers. It actually did surface on, I'm gonna pull it up right now. They put out two cassette versions of the first four EPs, and the second cassette edition had the bonus tracks on it, and I'll tell you them in a second. So let's see here. It is, I'm probably boring the people, but
I just want to, if you can say one thing while you look it up. What's that? I thought that the reissues from Fat Possum were very good.
I haven't checked them out. I've got, like, to me, I mean, I'm not saying they're bad. I've got all the original stuff. So should I buy the other stuff, Ricky? I mean,
So here's what I did. I have an original white pressing of the self-titled, but I bought the, reissue of Wasted Years because my signed one, I kind of want to retire because but what was really cool was that Fat Possum put all four EPs on one LP.
Yeah, that's cool.
On blue translucent vinyl. So I'm like, that's amazing. Thank you. Like, I love the box set, but this is much more convenient. So I have that. But I don't know why. They also did Wasted Years on translucent red vinyl, like the first pressing. So the only way you can really tell between the two is like
the logo, I guess, right?
The logo, and then also like you have to look for Vice Records or Fat Possum.
Yeah.
I don't have like a lot of the 7 inches. I have some. I have like Learn to Obey, which I mean that was one of my first Record Store Day purchases, and I have the Shepherd Fairey. Actually, I have a few off Shepherd Fairey prints. I have Watermelon somewhere rolled up. But, and I also have the one that the Free LSD poster that Shepherd Fairey and Raymond Pennybon did together, too. This is worth mentioning. Not just the music, but like the vibe and the art that came from off.
Very true. Very true.
Amazing. I mean, I would only like them and again, like Nightbirds, I thought like their aesthetic was amazing too. But kind of like the modern like Black Flag art, I thought that came from off was really notable. And I don't think that gets talked about enough.
You're totally right. Off, and honestly, I think really Keith Morris was extremely smart in the aesthetic that he employed with regards to the band. I guess to wrap up the discussion. So there's two bonus tracks from the first album, or the first four EPs, Sexy Capitalist and the Avengers cover, Zero Hour. There's some rare tracks on some of the 7 inches that aren't on the albums. And there's a track from the Grand Theft Auto soundtrack that's not on anything. And I think there's one other and there's another digital only bonus track from the album Off, which I used to have, but I think I lost in hard drive somewhere. I think that's called. Let's see here. Oh, and actually, no, I do have it because it's on the promo CDR only, which I have. It's not actually.
I know they also, I mean, they also have a bunch of splits, there's the Melvin split, which I have not heard.
It's live. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's
yeah. So
awesome.
I wait. Didn't they do? They did do a live album. They did. I mean, obviously live at the BBC, which was a record store day, and then live at the 9:30 Club.
Yeah, but that's only 10-inch though, isn't it? Like it's not the full set.
No. Live at the 9:30 Club is a full set.
Oh, maybe it is. Maybe you might be right. I might be missing one. Let me take a quick
The
look.
BBC one is only like five tracks or something like that.
Ricky might have out-offed me. You offed me off. Let's see here. Well, now my computer beats. So anyway, yeah, off rules. So anyways, they could do a rarities collection, and they could definitely do a live. Oh, you're right. Live at the 9:30 Club. However, and you're totally right about that, Ricky. However, my what I would say is that's a soundboard recording, and it's not a
Proper.
proper recording. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
so it'd be nice if we had it proper. Like this is our live album. You know. At any rate, off rules. I'm sad to
Off
see him
rules,
go,
Circle
but.
Jerks. Yeah, so I think the deal is that they're just gonna go on hiatus after the movie comes out.
Right. And honestly, Ricky, I don't see a return from that hiatus unless some festival says we'll give you a bunch of money, which I think they should take if they're offered that. Last question, Ricky. Last question, and then I'll let you go. Will we see Flag again live? Will Flag resurrect? Because Flag has never had an ending, and Flag never said we all hate each other. They just, you
They
know,
just
I
don't have time.
Keith, right, exactly. Keith had live shows, and Dukowski, not Dukowski, Bill Stevenson had Descendants, and so did Stephen Egerton. And so
I
Will.
mean, will Flag come back?
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm sure. Listen, you're touring a bunch together this much. I'm sure they're talking about it. I think don't Descendants? I mean, it'll. Well, I mean, if Descendants, I vaguely remember Descendants recording something like after Ninth and Walnut came out. They actually don't they have another album coming out, and
Oh, something
then
like that, yeah.
something like that, and then I'm not don't I'm just going off memory. Don't quote me on that. And then if Circle Jerks are doing an album, then they're gonna have that touring schedule. I mean, I think it's possible. I mean, they're probably talking about it backstage, no?
I think you're probably right. I think the only thing holding back Off is I don't think Off's ever going to tour. I think again,
No,
I think
I was
Off
talking about Flag.
that's you're right, you're right. I don't think Flag's ever going to tour again, but I think Flag will take big buck festivals, which I'm all about, which you know I'm cool with. So
Yeah,
I
like I
think
could like Riot Fest. They could
right.
probably do that. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think what's going on is right now Descendants are getting good offers and Circle Jerks are getting good offers because Circle Jerks are still sort of new as being back. I do think that this, I mean, Descendants are playing all the time anymore, which is great and cool, but I don't think Descendants necessarily have that pop and we're back for the first time again. You know what I mean? I think
Yeah.
now Descendants are kind of like Rancid or NOFX might be a bad example, like Rancid or Bad Religion. You know, here we are, we're around, we're your festival headliner, you know. So I think maybe in a year or so, once or 2 years, once that kind of sheen kind of wears off Circle Jerks, I think then you'll have your talks about the resurrection of Flag in the festival set in the festival setting. However, Keith's talking about me. Keith's like 68 or something, Ricky. You know what
Yeah.
I mean? So
Yeah.
I don't know, man. And like even Keith has talked about like I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be doing this. You know, so we'll
Well,
keep our finger. I hope forever, but we'll see, Ricky. We'll see.
yeah, I'm let's let's I'm hoping for the best for all of it, but yeah. I guess this kind of inspired me to maybe find start getting the rest of the off 7 inches. Maybe I'll start doing that. I don't know.
Ricky, what you should be doing is going around talking to investors and getting them to finance a Flag show and live album so I can fly out and watch the show. That's what you should be doing, Ricky.
And then we can maybe may and we should also use that money for a live recording too.
Indeed. Well said, Ricky. Well said. Okay, Ricky, any last thoughts you want to send the people out with? It's been a blast talking with you, as always, talking about records. Always a joy.
Know, John, thanks so much again for doing this. I love being able to I don't have a, it's funny, like I don't maybe I've said this before. I don't have a lot of people to talk to when it comes to like records and punk rock. So this is very cathartic and very fun. I hope everyone listening thinks that as well.
Screw
Follow
them.
me on
What do we care about them?
it. Follow me on Instagram at DesertBurst92. That's where like my record collection is, like that's where the pictures are. And then If not, then I'll see you talking shit on navel gazing, I guess. And then every once in a while I'll throw a review at Punk News. And
That's
yeah,
right.
John, thanks
Ricky
again
just
for having me.
quite welcome. Ricky just did a review of what was it, Ricky? You just did a review of something pretty recent, didn't you?
I did
Sum 41, Sum 41.
Oh, I did that for Punk Worldviews. That
Oh,
was
with it, what'd you do? You did something here recently. What'd you do
I
here?
sent you the Bloodstained 7-inch, and
Did I
then
post that?
you did, and then
Okay.
also the I also reviewed the Neighborhood Brats album, Claw Marks.
There you go. There you go.
And then was that it? And then oh, and Beer Wolf, Common Grief. I threw that to Punk News also. So check those out. Yeah, John, thanks again. This is always a blast, and hopefully we'll do this again, I guess, later this year.
And Ricky, what I want you to think about in the meantime, will Morning Glory ever release a vinyl version of the first album? That's what I want you to think about, Ricky.
I am slow, my heart breaks slowly.
I don't think so. I just don't.
He's just not, well, Ezra's so not into music, like based on his Instagram. Like
Yeah.
it's just not gonna happen. I wish they
Dude.
would. I wish Kill Whitey was gonna be put on vinyl too, but it's not gonna happen.
Ezra's Instagram is hilarious. He's like, oh, now I film TV shows. Oh, now I fly airplanes. Oh, now I'm a yoga master.
I
Oh,
love,
now.
listen, and by the
Go
way, I'm
ahead.
not making fun of Ezra. I love Ezra. Okay, Morning Glory is my favorite band of all time. All respect to Ezra, but like, it breaks my heart that none of that stuff is going to be on vinyl, like, ever.
Probably not, honestly. Probably not. So,
Yeah.
Ricky, should we send him out with a Circle Jerks song, an off song, or a Morning Glory song? What should we send him out with?
You know, John, why don't you? We've done a lot of, let's celebrate off. So you can choose an off song. How about that?
Yeah, it's good. You know what? Let's open up this is not like a rare track or anything, but let's just open up with like the first off song that came out just because it was such a slap in the face in the best possible way. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Let's do Black Thoughts by Off. And Ricky and I will be back in 3 months, 6 months, sometime in the future. Until then, here's Off.
Traces of fatal. heads rot like cradles. These projects like stables. It's racial genocide. Open your eyes to the snapshots, the haves and the have-nots. But you got cut. The self-preservation is the first rule. It's time to take a stand in this cesspool. Just a big bitch from Hollywood. Bouncing bumps on the streets in your design of death. Only capacity is under that design of head. And the one between the hungry, poor, and wealthy fed. Motherfuckers sleeping in the rain on concrete net. I'm not a pimp, I'm just a carpenter by trade. But tonight I'm trying to get him off the fuck merry. So get up for the freedom fight. We got the world in our hands, and our hands at our sides. Get up for the freedom fight. We got the world in our hands, so let's decide.
Return the bomb, revolution, sweaty palms, civilians bearing arms, I'ma get this on. Are you prepared to fight the fight of your life in the heat of the night? A thousand sleepless nights, no light in sight. Fighting the power with gunpowder in the final hour. It's only room for soldiers, no cowards. It's a new way to Vietnam, democracy is gone. We've been slaves too long, it's time to return the bomb.
Control the crowd. The American nightmare is a mushroom cloud.
Yeah, yeah.